Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and let the buyer beware turns out to be important advice if you're eating fish in New York. The conservation group Oceana tested samples of fish sold around the city and found mislabeling 39% of the time. I'm joined now by Dr. Kimberly Warner, a senior scientist with the group who conducted the study. Welcome to WNYC.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Brian.
And first, New York is hardly unique in this level of fish fraud, right? You'd found similar levels in Boston, Miami, Los Angeles.
That's absolutely true. Unfortunately, this is not just a local problem, except if the fish ends up on your plate, but it's really a national and even a global problem.
Which venues did the best at labeling fish, and which did the worst?
Well, we visited several types of retail, ranging from the smaller independent markets, national chain grocers, sit-down restaurants, and sushi bars. I guess the national chain grocers were the ones that had the least amount of mislabeling by retail type.
And the worst?
The worst were the sushi venues that we visited. All 16 of those sold at least one mislabeled fish.
Really? So in the sushi, I mean, people can tell, right? I think I know yellowtail when I bite into it.
Yes, yellowtail is something that, it's called hamachi, and the correct translation is a type of amberjack. It's not really a yellowtail because there's another species we sell by that name in the country. So, but consistently, it is pretty much the same species that's sold under the name of both yellowtail and hamachi.
So what, I only use that as a random example. What are they, mislabeling in sushi restaurants?
Well, it's primarily in New York the white tuna that we purchased, and that was the predominant and the most highly mislabeled fish in this study. And that all turned out to be escalar, which is a fish that needs to be labeled properly because it contains a naturally occurring toxin that can have really acute gastrointestinal effects for some people who eat too much of it, more than a few ounces.
And your study found that white tuna was mislabeled 94% of the time.
Exactly.
So is this that fishmongers, have limited knowledge, or is this fraud?
Well, in the case of white tuna, it is absolutely not a tuna fish. It is nowhere near being a tuna fish. Escalar is not tuna. So that is definitely a case of clear mislabeling. So perhaps sushi vendors think that everybody understands that when they purchase white tuna, they're getting something else. But that's not true. And, the real test will be what are their suppliers selling them, what's the label on the supplier, and if they are changing that to reflect something that it's not. So, as a nonprofit organization going in to buy retail fish, we do not have the ability to go back and ask those kinds of tough questions and demand to see invoices and those types of measures that would allow us to tell where the mislabeling is occurring.
I'm surprised to see that salmon is on your list of commonly mislabeled fishes, because most people would think it has a distinctive look and a distinctive taste.
It does, I think, but apparently people still can be fooled. We saw a larger percentage of the farm salmon parading as wild salmon in the small local markets and some of the high-end restaurants as well.
And that's really the issue with salmon, right? It's not another species. It's substituting farmed salmon that gets labeled as wild salmon, which is preferable.
Right. If you're paying top dollar for a wild product, a carefully managed Alaskan fishery product, then you want that on your plate and not a farmed species that we're not really sure where it came from.
And I saw that none of the substitutions, the mislabelings, were expensive fish mislabeled as cheaper varieties, which would just about prove that these aren't honest mistakes, right?
Right. I think the only exception might be some of the very closely related snapper species. That could be an honest mistake where, one, it's very hard, even genetically, to tell the southern or Caribbean red snapper from the northern or true red snapper that we sell in this and label such in this country. So I think in that case, you would really need a good traceability system to know where your fish was caught to be able to tell whether it's the carefully managed domestic red snapper or if it's overexploited, an uncarefully managed non-domestic snapper species.
Although I think you listed as a very problematic substitution, tilefish for red snapper.
Absolutely. That was not an honest mistake. You know, those two fish do not look anything alike. So that was deliberate mislabeling at some place along the supply chain.
And that's a problem because of higher mercury levels in the tilefish?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The FDA and EPA has been, trying to get the word out and other people that women of childbearing age and pregnant women, nursing, and children need to avoid certain high mercury fish, and tilefish is one of the four that they say do not eat. And tuna is one they say to, limit your consumption. So definitely if you're somebody trying to follow these advisories and you want to choose your fish carefully and wisely, you're not going to be protected if you're getting this type of bait and switch.
Tilefish also get substituted routinely, the report says, for halibut. So if you're buying red snapper or halibut, what should you ask the person at the fish store or the restaurant, or what should you look for if you want to avoid the tilefish?
Well, I wouldn't say it was prevalent. We had two instances where we found this, but in a rather small sample set.
Oh, good.
But, definitely talk to your fishmonger or the person you're buying your fish from or the restaurant that's selling your fish to make sure they know where it's coming from and whether they know, where it was caught and how it was caught and those kinds. If they can't give you a good answer on that, then, maybe you want to select something else. Also, if the price is too good to be true, you probably want to pass that up and go for something that looks more like what you would be paying for an honestly caught wild product.
Ann in the East Village, you're on the air. Hi, Ann.
Good morning. I would love to run this one by your guest, and thank you very much for your studies out there. This past summer, I noticed that in several of the farmers' markets that they were constantly sold out of bluefish, which happens to be the cheapest, a very unpopular fish because it's so strong, but after a while, I was like, what's going on here? I said, it must be restaurants buying it and then putting on some spicy glop of a tapenade or sneaking it into their stews or soups.
Right.
And what do you think?
I like the taste of bluefish, but bluefish is very limited in the amount that you're supposed to eat in our area because there's a lot of bluefish in New York area waters, isn't there?
Yes, bluefish is common along the East Coast, and the wild fish often has state-led advisories for organic contaminants and that type of thing. So you have to be careful, again, where you select your wild bluefish, which areas and which populations to protect yourself from those. And it's probably a limited catch. It's a fish that goes in and out of estuaries, part of its life cycle, and and if it spends too much time in one area, it can pick up more contamination. So knowing where your fish is from is really important. And if they're selling it at a farmer's market, they probably know where it's being caught. But it would have a limited fishing season.
And we're just about out of time, but this is hardly the first indication that fish fraud is rampant. So what can be done to combat it? Do you have policy recommendations?
Absolutely. We're pushing for full boat-to-plate traceability in our seafood supply chain and more oversight. So there's a good bill in Capitol Hill, the Safe Seafood Act, moving through Congress, and if it doesn't get passed this term, we're hoping it gets reintroduced. It was introduced by Representative Markey from Boston after the Boston Globe, and we uncovered large amounts of mislabeled seafood in Boston. So absolutely, there are policy recommendations that would really help fix this problem.
Dr. Kimberly Warner, a senior scientist with Oceana, the group that conducted the study of mislabeled fish in restaurants and stores in New York. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Coming up next, we'll speak to one of the other journalists I went to China with on why China and Japan could wind up in a military confrontation over some disputed islands and why the United States could get drawn in. Stay tuned for Jonathan Tepperman, managing editor of Foreign Affairs magazine, on that. Stay with us.